Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We're starting a new series this morning, and so I just want to quickly kind of, I guess, remind us of the theme that we have been working on the last few months, and then we're going to take off from there. Let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 43. And then I will share the title as we get in here. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So God is talking about he wants to do a new thing. And so we should not be so attached and hung up on the former things or the things of old. Don't let negative past hold us back. Amen. And then don't consider that everything has to be done the same, because God says, listen, I want to do a new thing. And so he said, I want to do a new thing now, and we'll most definitely know it. And he said, what's it going to look like? Well, it's even going to be, he said, like, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So he's talking about newness of life and taking new territory. Newness of life and taking new territory. And I have mentioned that newness of life and taking new territory doesn't happen by wishing or by accident. And so there are three parts that are required in order to experience newness of life and taking new territory. So however that looks in our lives individually, it still requires these three things. Number one, it requires God. We've talked about this before. Number two, it requires his direction. And number three, it requires action. See, we can have God in our life and we can have his direction, but if we take no action, nothing gets done. So it requires God, it requires his direction, and it requires action. So let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 24. Says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. And I've got the word day underlined in my Bible here. This is the day. Because it's like, what day? What? This is the day. What are you talking about? Like, what day? I mean, literally this 24-hour period, this 24-hour day. Lord, what are you talking about? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, if we back the bus up a little bit to verse 21, it says, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. You've become my salvation. This is the day that he's made. It's the day of salvation. So regardless of how the weather is inside or outside, it doesn't matter what season we might be in, spring, summer, winter, or fall, this is the day. It's the day of salvation. You know, so every morning we wake up, it's the day of salvation. In other words, it's a good day. Because the blood of Jesus has already been shed. Jesus has already had, you know, death, burial, and resurrection. And he's raised us up together with him, seated us together with him in heavenly places. It's a good day. Hallelujah. Because of what he has already done for us. It's the day of salvation. He's our Savior. He's our Avenger. In other words, He's avenging us. He's protecting us. He's taking care of us. He's fighting on our behalf. And he's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our rescuer. He's our preserver. He's our prosperer. He's the one who gives us the victory. All these parts and facets of the word salvation. This is who he is, and this is what he has made available for us. So it's the day of salvation. It's a good day, glory to God. And let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Verses 5 and 6, I think we read this last week, but let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. So praising God brings increase and blessing. Praising God brings increase and blessing. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Because it's the day of salvation, so we rejoice. We rejoice and we praise. Rejoicing and praising brings increase and blessing. And so the spirit of faith praises and rejoices. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices if we believe it's the day of salvation. It'll affect our day. It'll affect how we think. It'll affect how we act. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices in the face of contradictory circumstances. Amen? The spirit of faith does that. So rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapons to live unbreakable and possess strength under pressure. I'll read that again. Rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapons to live unbreakable and possess strength under pressure. And so that's what this series is called. It's called Unbreakable, Strength Under Pressure. Is unbreakable easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. Can we break? Yes. But can we live unbreakable? Yes. We learn how to receive and enjoy strength under pressure. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because it's the day of salvation. Praising God brings increase and blessing. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices. Now let's go to Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read this, and then we're going to, because we read this, I taught on this last week. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I just want to read this and remind us of this. Luke 18, starting in verse 1, says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men or women, that we ought to always pray and not to faint or to lose heart." And this was the parable. He said, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him and said to this judge," she said, "get justice for me from my adversary." We have an adversary, right? The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said. And he is still here. There is going to be a point and a period of time when he is removed, but that's not now. So we continue to have an adversary. In other words, life is not just a box of chocolates. It's not just simple and easy. There is a fight. And so she said, "Get justice for me, or make and set things right for me from my adversary." And he would not for a while, but after a while he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God nor regard people, yet because of this widow she troubles me, I will avenge her." And these were the four words that we focused on, I think it was last week. "I will avenge her, I will avenge her, God will avenge us, God will avenge us." These four words, "I will avenge you." Hallelujah. Amen. "Lest by her continually coming she weary me." And Jesus said, "Hear what the unjust judge said." And that was what? "I will avenge you." Jesus goes on to say, "And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night?" And we saw that the word "cry" means to shout. And what kind of a shout? It was a shout of faith and praise. The shout of faith and praise. Because faith and praise and rejoicing, it's the spirit of faith. It's what brings increase and blessing. It's what causes us to enjoy our salvation. So God will avenge his elect who cry or shout out to him day and night, the shout of faith and praise, though he bears long with them. And we saw that was passing the test, passing the humility test. And that will be revealed in verse 8. Well, what is that? Well, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So passing the test would be fighting the good fight of faith and not giving up and caving in, as he said in verse 1. Right? Hallelujah. So, this is what we see here. The shout of faith and praise brings justice. She got justice. God said, Jesus said that the Father will avenge us if we continue to shout the shout of faith and praise day and night. He will avenge us. He will set things right, make things right, put things right. We will get justice. Hallelujah. I say it's time for justice. Amen? It's time for justice. Glory to God. And so let's go ahead and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. And I guess this will be our theme scripture, Nehemiah, back here somewhere. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. And we're only going to read just the last dozen words of verse 10. Because the Israelites are being encouraged. And so the last dozen words says this: do not sorrow. The word sorrow can also be translated worry. All right? Do not sorrow or worry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not sorrow or worry, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's say that together. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. One more time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? Hallelujah. So if we need some more strength, as we're putting our pieces together here, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So it would be increase the joy would increase the strength. Right? Praising God brings increase in blessing. This is the day the Lord has made, so we will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? To experience and enjoy the salvation that this day is, the results of salvation. Amen? So the joy of the Lord is our strength in every area. In every area. Right? Spirit, soul, and body, socially, financially. The joy of the Lord is our strength in every area. It's not limited to one area. It can affect and change every area. It gives us strength in every area. So, how do we respond under pressure? How do we respond under pressure? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13, the Apostle Paul said this: and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. And so rejoicing and praising do not just have to be done through singing. It can be done just by, and I think I'll probably read this next week, but Brother Hagin, I'll just read a little bit of his testimony next week, maybe before praise and worship. But, you know, because he was told you can't sing. He went to take singing lessons, and he was told you can't sing. Matter of fact, I think he was given the money back and said, don't come back. You know, after a couple times, you can't sing. So he didn't sing, but he would say. And so, you know, you can say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, or you can sing it. But I mean, either way, it's still rejoicing and praising. Amen? Hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Amen? So either way, it's we're saying it. You can say it with melody, or you can just say it, right? It works. It works. It works. Glory to God. And so the spirit of faith believes and speaks. Excuse me. So there are three different, I've mentioned this before, but I just want to kind of touch on a couple things. There are three different ways to live, okay? One of the ways is a museum keeper. A museum keeper basically is content to dust off the memories of the past, right? The museum keeper, it's always about the good old days. Let's just talk about the good old days and the good old days and the good old days. I mean, it's just, you know, we don't want to talk about the new days. We don't want to talk about the days ahead, but we'll just talk about the good old days. Let's just talk about the good old days. And so that's the museum keeper, just always talking about the good old days. Amen? And then there's the settler. The settler has found the comfort zone or their comfort zone, and they decide to live there. You know, they may have decided to move forward a little bit, but tripped and fell and skinned their knee, and, you know, it just was a little bit too much effort. So they basically just back the bus up. They back up, and they may have just kind of backed up and kind of, you know, endeavored to repair their wounds, but they decided, you know what, it's actually comfortable here. There's no tripping, there's no falling, there's nothing. And then that's, on the one hand, that is pleasing and comfortable, but on the other hand, it's very uncomfortable because literally nothing's happening. And then people get frustrated because they want something to happen. They want to experience something. They want to experience newness of life and take some new territory, but they're afraid to trip and fall, skin their knee again. It's just, is it worth it? It's just, and they just think it's not worth it. So the settler just kind of stays back and stays comfortable and frustrated. Right? And I don't think it's not satisfying. It's not the abundant life that God has come to give us, that Jesus bought for us. And then there's the pioneer. The pioneer is the person who advances and takes new territory. And if they do trip and fall and they skin their knee, they may back up a little bit and they tend to their wounds and they get healed, but they get back up and keep moving forward. Amen. You remember, yeah, literally. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was stoned. Taken out of town, stoned, and then he got back up and went back into town. Same town that just stoned him. It's just pioneer, the spirit of faith. Paul, why did you do that? Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. It's the spirit of faith. He just got back up and went back into town and dared him to do it again. And they wouldn't do it again. And then he walked off to the next town and the next town and the next town. And so it's less like this is a spirit of faith. Spirit of faith. So the pioneers, the ones that have the spirit of faith. So let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 116 because he's actually quoting. The Apostle Paul didn't make that up. He's actually quoting Scripture. He's quoting David. Psalm 116. And we start in verse 8, Psalm 116, verse 8. David said this, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke." So this is David speaking. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, basically quotes this and puts this scripture in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. But David said, listen, life has not been easy, for you have delivered my soul from death. There are times where he thought he was dead, and his soul, his mind, his will, and emotions, it was a bad day, a bad week, whatever it might be, a bad month. It was, you have delivered my soul from death. You have delivered my eyes from tears. He may have been crying, but he said, I don't need to cry anymore. I don't need to cry anymore. Crying is not wrong, but we don't need to be crying forever. Amen? He says, you've delivered my eyes from crying and my feet from falling. God's intent and plan is not for us to keep tripping over the same thing. Tripping and falling and tripping and falling and tripping and falling over the same thing. We ought to learn, we ought to get some wisdom and be able to walk around or step over. All of a sudden, we ought not to be tripping over the same thing. He said, listen, This is part of the spirit of faith. You've delivered my soul from death. You delivered my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know what that is? That's here on earth. Right? This is where people are living. I'm gonna walk before the Lord all the days of my life. And he said, I believed, therefore I spoke. Now let's get a little more insight into David then and go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Let's just go back a little bit farther. Psalm 18. And read a little bit about David here. Psalm 18. If we can just start in verse 1. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, and who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. So he recognizes here, when we're talking about unbreakable and strength under pressure, he understands where his strength comes from. So we already saw that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Then he goes on to say, I will love you, O Lord, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. So we trust him. Amen. We love him. We trust him. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So then he says, now it's time to praise him. So I love him. I trust him. And I praise him. Because we have enemies. He has enemies. Now our enemies are different, because as the Apostle Paul said, and as the Holy Spirit had us understand through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So our enemy is not people. Our enemy is the devil. It's this demonic force that works in people, which under the old covenant, they really were not aware of that. So people were the enemy, because they just saw the results of people. But people can still do bad things today. But we understand that it's the people, but there is a satanic demonic force that's working behind people. So we can deal with the root and not just the fruit. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's what he's saying here. I will love you, I will trust you, and I will praise you, because I have got some enemies. Now we're going to jump from verse to verse. We're not going to go just from one verse to the next, but we're going to jump. Verse 6. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. So it must have been the shout of faith and praise, because he says God heard me. He heard my voice from his temple. And my cry came before him, even in his ears. Verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills were quaked, and they were shaking because he was angry. Why? He's our avenger. And all of a sudden, there's an enemy. And so we're crying out to him, calling out, shouting out with a shout of faith and praise for vengeance, for vindication, justice in our lives. And God got a little bit upset. Why? Because his children need some help. The enemy is harassing us. Verse 13. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Glory to God. Verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Verse 18. The end of verse 18 says, but the Lord is my support. The Lord's your support. Say, the Lord's my support. The Lord's my support. Amen. He's our support. Glory to God. He's our support. He's our helper. Verse 19, he also brought me out into a broad place. It's a large place, not a tight, confined place, but a large place. And he delivered me because he delights in me. The Lord delights in us. He delights in you. Amen. Say, the Lord delights in me. Hallelujah. He's for us, not against us. And then we see in verse 28, it goes on to say, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. King James says this, you will light my candle. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So he will light our spirit. He will enlighten our darkness. He will enlighten us. He enlightens our spirit. How does he do that? Well, Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. So the entrance of his word gives light. He lights our candle. How do you light a candle? What do you light a candle with? Fire. Amen? Fire. He's gonna light us. He's going to ignite us. Amen? We want the fire of God on the inside of us. Allow the word of God to stir us up. Amen? He lights our candle with his word. He lights our spirit. He enlightens us. He gets us on fire. When we get excited about the word of God and he causes the lights to come on, the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God said it this way, Lord, grant to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That's God lighting our candle. That's God setting us on fire. Because the moment we get the spirit of wisdom and revelation, when we get revelation knowledge, we might read a scripture, and then all of a sudden the lights come on, and you go, whoa, that's good. Wow. All of a sudden what? We just got lit. Amen? And it's at that moment that the spirit of faith is released. All of a sudden, we can't be talked out of it. It's just, we're ready to go. And so here we go. Light my candle. What happens when we get lit? What happens when we get the spirit of wisdom and revelation? What happens when we get revelation knowledge from the word of God? We're ignited and on fire. Verse 29, for by you, I can run against a troop. I can run through a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. By you I can. So right, and notice it doesn't say that you can cause me to and you will make me. No. He said, by you I can do it. So God's not gonna do it for us, but He's gonna light us, He's gonna ignite us, He's gonna fire us up. Why? So we can run through a troop and we can leap over the wall. Amen. That's the spirit of faith. We see the wall, we jump over it. We see the troop, we run through. Amen? Hallelujah. Unbreakable. Strength under pressure. By you, I can run against a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. For as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. See, it's proven. We're not trying to test the word. The word's already proven. As we read, I think it was a couple weeks ago, that the Word is actually testing us. We're not testing the Word. It's already proven. It already works. It's perfect. But it's us. We need to pass the test. And so the test is for us, not for the Word. The Word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength. He arms us with what? Strength. Glory to God. He arms us with strength and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has upheld me and your gentleness has made me great. You have enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Hallelujah. We're not just running on some skinny little path that's kind of muddy and slippery. He says he's enlarged the path for us. So all of a sudden, we're stable. We're stable. We're confident. Amen? We got good footing where he leads us. I pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so they have could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. This is all the spirit of faith. And David said, I have believed, therefore I speak. I believe, therefore I speak. And I tell you, when he killed Goliath, he's a teenager. That's not normal. But he was not afraid of Goliath because he was very convinced in who his God was. And you could tell that because he called Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. So he knew there was something, someone bigger backing him than the bigness of Goliath. Amen. He was very aware of that. So the spirit of faith caused him what? To run through the troop and leap over the wall. When Goliath began to walk towards him, the Bible says David ran towards the enemy. Hallelujah. We don't have to run from our enemy because Jesus has already defeated him. He's already given us the victory. Amen? And so, verse 42, then I will beat them as fine as dust before the wind, and I cast them out like dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the striving of the people, and you have made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear me, they will obey me, and foreigners will submit to me. I like verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. He's beginning to praise God. It is God who avenges me. Hallelujah. Let's say that together. It is God who avenges me. Again, it is God who avenges me. Hallelujah. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Not ours. It's vengeance is his. Amen? And so, it is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from the enemy. You also lift me up above those who rise against me and have delivered me from the violent men. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed. Glory to God. And so we see him doing these three things. I love you, I trust you, and I praise you from verses 1 to 3 in this verse. But we can see how the spirit of faith caused him to do things that were just not normal. Instead of running away from the enemy, he ran towards the enemy. Amen. He leaped, I will leap over the wall, run through the troop, spirit of faith. And the spirit of faith is, we saw that in 2 Corinthians 14, is what? Is we have believed and therefore speak. So, acting on this revelation knowledge gives us the advantage over the enemy to fight the good fight of faith and not back down. Amen? The shout of faith and praise is what brings justice in our lives. And so Jesus said, when I come, will I really find faith? Will I really find people that have the spirit of faith? Will I really find people that are not backing down, not giving up, and not caving in? And so we're seeing some aspects of what that looks like in our life. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, you can just write that down. But again, this is where the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. He was very distressed. He was very dismayed. He was under pressure. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. New King James says this, he strengthened himself in the Lord. So we're talking about unbreakable strength under pressure. How do we strengthen ourselves? By encouraging ourselves. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we need to encourage ourselves because this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. So there's this rejoicing. There's this praising. There is this joy that imparts strength to us under pressure. He encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. It's always nice when we get some encouragement and from others because that encourages and strengthens us. But when there is no one else, when it's not abundant, and when it's, you know, maybe it's the middle of the night, maybe it's in the middle of a situation and there's no one else around, we ought to at least have practiced encouraging ourselves in the Lord, right? That's not the time to go, oh, Maybe this is a good time to start encouraging myself in the Lord. No, it really ought to. Let's practice encouraging and strengthening ourselves here, so when we're facing a situation here, it's actually much more natural and easier. Amen? Because that's not the time that we feel like it. it's not as easy then. Let's go to John chapter 16. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. John chapter 16, the last verse, John chapter 16, verse 33, John 16, 33. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. John chapter 16, verse 33. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Do you know this is not a promise? It's just the way it is. Right? This is not a great and precious promise. What's coming is the great and precious promise, but this is just the fact. In the world, this is the way it is. There's going to be tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. And we don't want to take a show of hands, but we can all know, I've experienced that. But now Jesus goes on to say this, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted. What does that mean? Be unbreakable. Have strength under pressure. Now, the King James basically stops there, but the Amplified continues on because it explains or amplifies what has just been said in the Greek. He said, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm and have conquered it for you. So it's not enough that just Jesus overcame the world. It's like, okay, that's nice, but what about me? I'd really like to experience some of that overcoming. And he goes, that's why I did it. He didn't do it for him. He did it for us. Amen. He did it for us. He says, I did it for you so I could deprive it of the power to harm you, and I've deprived it of its ability to conquer you. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. So he said, listen, be of good cheer. Rejoice. Cheer up. Be joyful. Because I've overcome the world for you and I've literally disabled its ability to harm and conquer you. So, ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Pressure is part of being in this world, but be of good cheer and rejoice, because what that does is it causes us to function and operate on a higher level than this world. We might be living in this world, but we do not have to be subject or live on this world's level. Your will being done on earth, in our lives, as it is in heaven. He wants us to function on a higher level. Even though we're living here, we can function and operate here. Just like an airplane. You know, an airplane, it taps into higher laws and it can fly. It's still experiencing gravity, but it's flying. It's not stuck to the earth. I mean, we can't do that. We jump, and I mean, some people can jump higher than others and farther than others, but sooner or later, and it usually is sooner, right? We come back down. I mean, we just can't fly. But there's something about the airplane tapping into these other laws. It can fly as long as it's got fuel, and you got gliders. And if you gliders or hang gliders, if you can find the thermal updrafts, you could fly all day long. You just catch them and you just go up and then you shoot out of them and you can go around and you just find another thermal updraft and you just circle it. You come back up and off you go again. Don't even need any gas. You just need someone with gas to get you going in the air. But a hang glider, you just need a big cliff to jump off of. And you are on your way. We did that in high school. One of our phys ed classes we did, one of our classes was hang gliding. And a few blocks away from school, there was a there was a park, somewhat of a park, and a big, tall embankment, and then a back alley in the neighborhood. So there was this park, and so we got our hang gliders at the top of the hill, and then we just ran with all our might. And what you do is you take the nose, and so our hang gliders had wheels on the yokes on the big triangle, so you didn't scrape your knuckles when you hit the ground. And so they were training wheels. And so we were, you kind of push the nose out to get the wind to catch the wings, and then you kind of pull the nose back in to get some more speed. And so there's this motion that you do. And so you don't want too much of this, because then you just go like that, but you want it to just, and not too much of this, because then you just go, boy, and you stop. And so there's this, but I got this play running down the hill, and I was doing it, and all of a sudden I'm running in the air. My feet are going, I'm not even touching the ground. I'm flying. And it's like, well, this is very cool. And so, you know, however far I, you know, not very far, but I was in the air. And so, because you gotta run fast enough that there's a stall speed. You stall, you know, and it happens when in a plane, if you go too slow at a certain point, you can stall, and then you just drop like a, you know, sandbag. So you gotta keep moving at a certain speed, so you don't stall. You can continue to fly. Anyways, that was very cool. Why did I share that? Hang gliding. We can fly. We can supersede. We can tap into higher laws, the laws of God. Even though we're living here on the earth, we can tap into higher laws and live and function here. All right? So it's possible. And so that's what we're talking about, being unbreakable, strength under pressure, because we are not just doing it on our own. We are working and functioning and operating with Him and seeing the importance of this, praising and rejoicing and being of good cheer causes us to tap into this strength, causes us to charge ourselves up and experience strength under pressure. The pressure is not going to go away. As long as we're here, Jesus said, there's going to be pressure. But He has deprived it of its ability to harm us and to conquer us. And it's interesting, the stronger we get, the less the pressure we will notice. Right? When you're small and someone pushes you, but as you get bigger and taller and stronger, and all of a sudden, you know, we've got some more weight on us, all of a sudden they can't just push us around as easy anymore. All of a sudden, right? So sometimes the thing that would push us over, the things that would have knocked us over a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it can't anymore. And the things that maybe be able to knock us over today, as we get strength, they will not knock us over next year, next week, next month. Amen? We're building ourselves up. God is building us. We're working together with Him. Glory to God. And so David encouraged himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself. And Jesus said, listen, he has brought victory for us. He's taken our place. He's became our substitute. So the pressure, the tribulation, test, trials in life, the frustration, doesn't need to knock us out. Glory to God. So let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Because how do we do that for ourselves? How do we do this for ourselves? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verses 25 and 26. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns or praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. Now the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. So I think I've stated this before, but I want to remind us, we may have already prayed. I've been praying. You know, Pastor Jeff, I've been praying. Well, I understand. So it may be time to start praising. Right? He didn't say they just prayed. He said they prayed and sang praises to God. And they tapped into some strength. Amen? They tapped into some supernatural strength. And not even just strengthened them. It literally showed up in the building. It showed up and it shook the place. And it caused the chains to fall off of them. Glory to God. Supernatural deliverance. So it may be time to just start praising. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say this. My brethren or family, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, temptations, tests, knowing this, that the testing or trying of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, why, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. But what's the key here? The key is to count it all joy under pressure. Right? Count it all joy under pressure. What does the phrase count it all joy mean? Well, we talked about this. I'm going to say it again. The word count in the Greek can be translated this way. Command, have rule over, and think. Count. Command, have rule over, and think. And the word joy is the Greek word that means cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness, and exceeding joyful. Exceeding joyful. Now that's beyond regular joyful, right? Exceeding joyful. I mean, that's a bunch of joyfulness. That's like really everybody knows that you're joyful, right? That's like dancing and singing kind of joyful. It's exceeding joyful. So what does this mean? Count it all joy. Based on with all these words, this is my translation. This is how I would read it. That we must rule over the circumstances with calm delight, and command ourselves to think cheerfully, and glad, and act exceedingly joyful. This is what count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation tests and trials. What does that mean? Count it all joy. We must rule over the circumstances with calm delight and command ourselves to think cheerfully and glad and act exceedingly joyful. So with that, let's go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. So with that in mind, Habakkuk chapter 3. I've just got a couple more scriptures and then we're going to be done here. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk. It's not a very long book. Matter of fact, chapter 3 is, it's only three chapters long. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Verse 17 says this, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the field, and there be no herd in the stalls. And that, I mean, that's a bad week, that's a bad month, that's a bad year. Right? I mean, literally, there's no blossom, there's no fruit, things are failing, there's no food, things are cut off, and there's no herd in the stall. I mean, it's empty. Right? Sometimes we may look at our life and go, my life is kind of like that. I don't know, a situation and circumstances, and this is kind of what I'm experiencing in my life. But what do we do? What do we do? Verse 18 says, yet. And that word yet, that's the spirit of faith. That's the I'm going to run through the troop and leap over the wall thing. Amen? That's the yet. Yet I believe, and therefore I speak. What am I going to speak? Yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because the Lord God is my strength. Hallelujah. This is what we do when it just doesn't seem like it's working out. This is what we do. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. No, the word strength means force. It means army. It means wealth. It means substance. It means valor, worthy, It means glad. It means goods. It means host, might, power. I just use the word, when I quote this, I just use the word source. He's my strength. He's my source. Amen? He's my strength. He's my source. He's your strength. He's your source. I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll join the God of my salvation because he's my source. The Lord God is my source. He will make my feet like deer's feet and he will make me walk on my high hills. He's going to help me. He's going to help us. Amen? Walk like deer's feet. Very accurate and precise. Not tripping and falling. And then make me walk on my high hill. We will ascend. We will increase. And we get to the top and we'll look around and go, look what the Lord has done. Look what he's done. Oops, excuse me. Good thing no one was there. No spitting. Look what the Lord has done for us. Amen. All because of why? All because we decided to say, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. So the word rejoice means this: to jump for joy, to be joyful, and to triumph. You know the word triumph? It means winning. How do we triumph? We rejoice. Triumph is a product of rejoicing. Winning is a product of rejoicing. To jump for joy, to be joyful, and triumph. So let's close with this verse. Let's close with Psalm 34:19. Psalm 34:19. Hallelujah. And then we will pick up here next week. Psalm 34, verse 19. David said this. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him or her, delivers us out of them all. Right? Not just half of them. Not 5%. Not 70%. He delivers us out of them all. And how does he do that? Well, that's what we just spent the last hour talking about. The joy of the Lord is our strength, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. The spirit of faith praises and rejoices. The spirit of faith will run through the troop, leap over the wall, and so we say under pressure, yet I will rejoice. I'll joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. Amen? We will rejoice. We'll jump for joy. We'll jump for joy. And if it's hard to jump, this is what I do sometimes too. I can woo! Get your feet going. Just make some extra motion. Amen? You say, well, I can't jump. Don't let that shut us down. Just get some wiggling, get some extra action beyond normal. Amen? Some rejoicing. Amen? Ha ha! Glory to God. Glory to God.